Pull up a stool. Careful that one is a wobbly leg.
Yeah, watch your balance there.
Welcome back, to the night shift at the nursing desk of what we affectionately call the commercial real estate psychiatric ward.
Affectionately, sure, if you want to call it that.
Right. Well, it is late May 2026. The coffee is stale, the fluorescent lights are humming, and the market is, as usual, completely unmoored from reality. I'm glad you're here with us.
It is remarkably quiet on the floor tonight, actually.
Which is never a good sign.
No, it usually means the patients, our beloved titans of the short-term rental industry, are busy hallucinating new cap rates in their rooms.
Oh, absolutely.
And for those lucky enough to not live inside these spreadsheets, a cap rate is basically your property's theoretical yearly yield. It's the raw pulse of the asset. And right now, their pulses are racing over pure fiction.
Exactly. They're out there right now chasing these artificially inflated internal rates of return, the IRR metric that supposedly predicts total life cycle profitability. They're chasing them like a handful of magic beans.
Yeah, magic beans is the perfect clinical term for it.
But we aren't here to look at their polite, sanitized pro formas tonight. We are here to review a new patient chart, a highly agitated admission.
We certainly are.
We're doing a deep dive into an incident report of a severe case of what is clinically termed catastrophic short-term rental compromise.
It's a fascinating, if grim, pathology. I mean, this is the case of Donovan versus the bot company, or Botco, as they're known. And thankfully, we don't have to rely on the industry's collective amnesia to understand what happened here. We actually have the diagnostic notes from Priyanshu Adithakar.
Capri.
Yes, Pri, as he's known, the chief of surgery at the CRE clinic.
Pri is pretty much the only reality-grounded professional left walking these halls.
Well,
I mean, while everyone else is like marveling at the digital booking algorithms, Pri is the lead investigator actually checking the patient's vitals. So our mission tonight is simple. We're going to rely entirely on Pri's clinical intervention to deconstruct how massive corporate exploitation is currently masquerading as innocent remote work in residential assets.
yeah, and we really need to understand how Pri's specific intervention is the only thing keeping reality-based property managers from experiencing a total system failure.
A total crash.
Because the delusion out there is highly contagious. And the platforms themselves, well, they're essentially acting as asymptomatic carriers.
So let's walk down to the admission room. Every patient chart starts with the admitting incident, right? We have a private residential asset, a nice, quiet, short-term rental property.
Sounds lovely.
Okay, well, it was booked in late May 2026 under the guise of housing a few quiet remote workers.
Remote workers.
Right. But they weren't remotely working on spreadsheets. They were bypassing commercial zoning entirely and converting this family home into an unauthorized, heavy-duty hardware R&D laboratory.
Which is a brilliant, albeit totally parasitic, corporate maneuver.
Yeah.
I mean, renting a commercial warehouse requires a 5-year lease, triple net fees, municipal permits, OSHA inspections.
It's a nightmare.
Right, but renting an Airbnb, that takes 4 seconds and a credit card.
Okay, let's unpack this. Over 30 engineering personnel occupied the home to field test a 6-foot-tall wheeled prototype robotics unit.
30 people.
30. So my question is, how? How does a 30-person team and a giant robot not trigger a SWAT team?
Right.
I mean, if a patient comes into the ER claiming they accidentally tripped and fell onto a scalpel 30 times, a doctor doesn't just nod and write it down.
No, they call for a psych consult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How does the industry's institutional amnesia let a fully staffed engineering lab just slip through the front door of a quiet residential neighborhood?
Because they don't arrive in a tour bus with Botco logos painted on the sign. What's fascinating here is the sheer elegance of the platform vulnerability matrix that enables this delusion.
The choreography of it.
Exactly. The mechanics of the deception are highly choreographed. They stagger their ingress. So two people arrive in an Uber with what look like standard Pelican camera cases.
Okay, totally normal for a tourist.
Right. Then an hour later, a nondescript delivery van drops off quote-unquote medical supplies. They black out the garage windows from the inside.
Yeah.
They wear lanyards while they test. But they look like weary tourists when they step outside for a smoke. The industry just blindly trusts the peer-to-peer rental architecture, but that architecture has massive systemic blind spots.
Right, because the algorithm is fundamentally coded to maximize conversions, not to, screen for industrial espionage.
Precisely. First, you have the operational mechanism of the corporate proxy booking. A massive corporate entity like Botco, they don't book the property under their corporate ledger.
That would be too obvious.
Way too obvious. They leverage an individual employee's personal account to secure the real estate. They aren't just slipping past the gates. It's like a multi-billion dollar corporation putting on a Scooby-Doo mask of a weary, introverted freelance graphic designer to just bypass the commercial bouncer at the door.
And the platform just sees, oh, John Doe wants to rent a house.
Yep.
But wait, John Doe is suspiciously quiet about his past, right? The chart mentions the exploitation of account age anonymity.
Yes, the corporate proxies purposefully use a clean slate profile.
Meaning what?
Meaning zero historical rental data, zero reviews, zero verifications, nothing. Now, in a rational market, a complete lack of history is a glaring red flag.
Right, you'd reject them instantly.
But the platform exploits the property host's vacancy pressure.
Explain that dynamic. Why would a host accept a total ghost?
Debt service cliffs.
The math.
Always the math. The host is mathematically desperate for occupancy to meet their monthly mortgage obligations. The platform knows this, so they gently nudge the host to accept the clean slate, completely ignoring that bad actor intent is hiding behind that neutral digital footprint.
It's willful blindness, really, driven by panic. I mean, the host wants to believe it's a quiet remote worker typing on a laptop because they need the cash flow, so they just ignore the fact that there's zero proof of that.
Yep.
And then the patient wakes up bleeding equity.
Let's move to the physical examination, the pathology of this delusion. We have to document the damage to understand the depth of the systemic failure here, because we aren't talking about a spilled glass of Merlot.
Not even close. The physical symptoms are severe. We are looking at $12,000 in physical damage,
wow,
which is far, far beyond standard residential wear and tear tolerances. A home is built for soft slippers and rolling suitcases. It is not structurally engineered for a heavy robotics prototype.
Let's read Pri's notes on the physical symptoms, starting with the flooring, because this is where the how really matters. Pri's boots-on-the-ground diagnosis of this delusion details deep abrasions, severe stress fractures, and chipped ceramic and porcelain tiles.
Just completely ruined.
Ruined. And to understand why, you have to look at the mechanics of the robot. This wasn't static quake. This was a direct result of the operational payload and the continuous wheel-tread friction of a 6-foot mechanical unit grinding, turning, and pivoting across the living space day after day. Residential tile just isn't baked to withstand industrial shear forces.
That makes total sense. Then you look at the kitchen and utility areas, the fixtures, the chart documents, surface scoring, deep scratches, and actual structural denting to stainless steel appliances.
Denting.
Yeah, I mean, you don't dent stainless steel by aggressively making a smoothie. You dent it by ramming a 6-foot metal chassis into the fridge.
Exactly. And the logistical modifications are even more clinical proof of an industrial takeover. I mean, think about it. How do you power a robotics lab in a 3-bedroom house?
You definitely can't just plug it into the wall where the lamp goes.
No, you'd blow the residential breaker immediately.
So what did they do?
The Botco personnel executed unauthorized installations of physical infrastructure.
What does that mean in plain English?
We are talking about heavy data bundles snaking through hallways, exposed electrical wiring tapped directly into the junction boxes, and heavy-duty auxiliary power leads strung directly across primary living zones. They treated a meticulously decorated family home like a bare concrete warehouse.
And the final symptom, which is honestly the most heartbreaking from a clinical perspective, is the asset destruction.
Yeah.
Permanent structural damage to and total destruction of irreplaceable family heirlooms that just happened to be located within the engineer's testing perimeter.
They turned a home into a crash test dummy.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If the spreadsheets for these properties are so mathematically polite and the pro formas looks so clean, why do property owners systematically ignore the glaring clean slate anomaly? I know you mentioned debt pressure, but are they completely blinded by platform trust?
It is a severe case of platform-induced myopia. Property owners are conditioned to believe that the booking platform is their partner, their guarantor, their safety net.
Like the platform actually cares about them.
Right. They look at the digital interface, they see the brand's promise of protection, and their critical thinking completely shuts down. They believe the hallucination that a peer-to-peer app can defy the fundamental physical risks of real estate.
Which brings us to the most painful part of the chart, the industry's preferred treatment plan, the placebo.
Oh, this part.
Yeah. When the asset is actively bleeding out from $12,000 in damages, the host reaches for the platform's indemnification guarantee, the famous air cover escalation framework.
It's the ultimate medical placebo. It offers the comforting illusion of treatment while the patient's condition actively worsens in the waiting room.
Let's examine this placebo, because it is essentially a reactive delay tactic masquerading as a proactive shield. It is a 14-day administrative labyrinth designed to just exhaust the property host.
Pure exhaustion.
If you're managing assets, you probably treat the platform's insurance like a warm blanket. But Pri's notes show that blanket is made of sandpaper. Walk us through it.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, relying on this reactive framework is a symptom of severe cognitive decline in asset management. You are handing the security of your capital over to a third-party mediator whose primary financial incentive is to limit payouts.
Obviously.
Let's walk through the clinical loop. Phase one, the booking concludes, the host walks in, sees the shattered tiles, the dented steel, and the exposed wiring. The clock starts. They have exactly 14 days to file a formal reimbursement request via the platform's resolution center.
Which sounds reasonable until you realize what phase two is. Phase two shifts the burden entirely. The platform doesn't just step in and pay the host. They demand payment from the individual account holder.
Yes.
They literally ask the very same guest who just fraudulently operated a robotics lab in your living room to voluntarily open their wallet. A 24-hour response window is triggered.
And shockingly, I mean, prepare yourself, the corporate proxy, hiding behind the Scooby-Doo mask, ignores the request.
I am stunned, truly.
Which triggers phase three, case manager mediation. The claim is escalated to a specialized high-value resolutions manager, and all evidence is audited. And if you somehow survive that audit, you finally reach phase four, payout and subrogation.
And for those unfamiliar, subrogation is just a legal mechanism where the platform finally indemnifies you, pays you for the damage, and in exchange, they buy the legal right to step into your shoes and hunt down Botco's corporate assets themselves.
But surviving phase three is the trap. You don't just get to phase four because your floors are ruined. The evidentiary compliance thresholds are absurd. To prevent the case manager from simply denying the claim on a technicality, you have to meet impossible standards.
Yeah.
Temporal verification, for one. As Cree notes in the patient's chart, this requires high-resolution photographic or video evidence capturing the exact physical condition of the asset immediately prior to check-in and immediately following checkout. Every scuff, every baseboard, timestamp.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt. Who does that? Nobody records a 4K timestamp documentary walkthrough of their property an hour before every single guest arrives. It's operationally impossible.
Nobody does it.
And then there are the corporate estimation standards. You don't just send them a Zillow estimate. You need itemized, formal repair quotes and structural assessments exclusively from independent, licensed contractors on official business letterhead.
Within that original 14-day window.
Have you tried getting a licensed contractor to just return a phone call in 2026? Let alone come out, do a structural assessment, and put an itemized quote on official business letterhead within 336 hours. It is engineered to fail. And what about those destroyed family heirlooms?
Ah, well, for those, you are required to produce original purchase receipts, certified historical bills of sale, or third-party professional appraisals.
For a vintage rug passed down from your grandmother.
Good luck with that.
So what does this all mean? It means the dispute resolution workflow is like forcing a trauma patient to fill out a 50-page liability waiver in triplicate with a notary present while they are actively hemorrhaging on the waiting room floor. It is designed to make the patient give up and just absorb the loss.
It is entirely designed to induce claim fatigue. And that is why exposure to these platform indemnification-only strategies causes severe loss of income, prolonged legal friction, and total equity depletion. The platform is a lead generation tool. It is not your security team.
Which finally brings us to the actual cure, the life-saving intervention. We have exposed the placebo, the algorithms, the delusions. So let's look at Pri's reverse psychology approach to curing the asset. He calls it the Ethical Cowboy Clinical Risk Mitigation Framework.
It's a fitting title. In a digital landscape that operates like a lawless frontier, you cannot rely on the town mayor, the platform, to protect your saloon.
They are too busy collecting taxes.
Exactly. You have to police your own perimeter. You have to become the ethical cowboy.
Pri's framework starts with a brutal reality check. Operational friction is good. Step one is to de-automate the booking funnel. You have to turn off the instant book feature.
This is the most critical preventative medicine. Instant book is a feature designed for the platform's volume, not the asset security. It removes the human element entirely. Prize mandates forcing manual screening to evaluate intent, trip purpose, and booking demographics. In brokerage and investment, skipping this hard work closes the door on the exact information that protects your capital.
Hold on, I have to play devil's advocate here. Turn off instant book. If an operator actually does that, the platform's algorithm is going to aggressively bury their listing on page 10 of the search results.
Oh, without a doubt.
You're basically telling them to kill their visibility to save their asset. That's a tough pill for an over-leveraged owner to swallow. How does that actually make sense?
Because digital visibility doesn't pay for $12,000 in shattered porcelain. If your asset is destroyed and taken offline for 6 months of repairs, your algorithmic ranking is completely irrelevant. You have to look the patient in the eye. That leads to step two, mandate historical verification.
Okay.
You reject the clean slates. You flag reservations originating from unreviewed accounts or accounts that lack verified government-issued identity credentials. If you won't show me your ID, you don't get the keys to a $1 million asset.
It's simple triage, but this raises the obvious anxiety for hosts.
Exactly. This raises an important question. Why do so few operators actually decouple their security from the platform feeding them the bookings?
Because they're scared.
They are terrified that adding friction will lower their ranking, so they trade away their physical security for digital convenience.
It's a fatal trade. And that brings us to step three of Pre's treatment. Implement decoupled surveillance. You take the security apparatus completely out of the platform's ecosystem.
This means deploying disclosed exterior optical surveillance, smart doorbells, floodlight cameras at all ingress and egress points. And it's vital to understand how you use them. You aren't just looking for burglars. You are monitoring occupant volume and cargo.
Right.
If a guest booked for two people, but 12 people with heavy Pelican cases are marching up the driveway, you abort the reservation before they cross the threshold. You establish the perimeter.
And for the inside, you obviously can't put cameras in a private living space.
No, but Pre prescribes tamper-resistant noise decibel monitors internally. They do not record conversations or audio feeds, so guest privacy remains strictly intact.
Okay, got it.
But they are calibrated to detect sustained, unauthorized, industrial, or event-level acoustic activity. A 6-foot robotics unit grinding on tile creates a very specific, sustained decibel signature that a quiet remote worker typing on a laptop does not. The monitor pings your phone, and you intervene before the damage scales.
The final step in the ethical cowboy framework is procuring primary commercial coverage. You abandon the platform's air cover placebo entirely. You maintain independent, standalone, short-term rental commercial insurance policies, specifically specialized business owners policies, or BOPs.
Because those independent instruments provide direct asset protection, liability defense, and crucial loss of income coverage, completely independent of the platform's mediated resolution timelines. You control the policy, you control the payout. You don't have to beg a case manager for your own equity.
How Preansa saw the symptoms before the family portfolio was traded away, it's just brilliant. It is brutal, clinical honesty. He looks at the operational friction, the messy, annoying, time-consuming reality of screening guests, checking IDs, and buying real commercial insurance as the actual brain of the deal. The rest of the industry is just staring at those artificially inflated IRR yields, pretending the platform will miraculously save them.
Priyanshu Alathakar is performing the autopsy while the rest of the market is busy polishing their pro formas. He recognizes that corporate bots and enterprise proxies are actively exploiting residential loopholes because it's cheaper to destroy a host's house than to navigate the bureaucratic red tape of a commercial R&D facility.
That's a grim reality we have to accept to survive this market. The platforms will not protect your assets. The remote worker might just be a 30-person engineering team stress testing a mechanized payload on your porcelain tile. If you rely solely on platform indemnification, you are choosing total equity depletion.
The clinical takeaway is undeniable. You must decouple your risk management from your lead generation. You must enforce friction, because friction is the only thing keeping the delusions out of your living room.
All right, well, I think it's time we officially end our shift at the nursing desk. We'll file Donovan versus Botco back in the archives. It's comforting in a dark way to know that Pry remains the only reality-grounded professional walking the halls of the CRE ward, keeping the patients from completely tearing up the floorboards.
A necessary dose of reality for a highly delusional market.
But before you clock out and head home, I want to leave you with one chilling thought to mull over on your commute. We just saw how a massive entity can hide 30 engineers and a giant robot in a quiet suburban home. So if massive corporate entities are secretly running heavy robotics R&D labs and short-term rentals just to dodge commercial zoning laws and venue fees, what exactly is being manufactured, tested, or built in that seemingly empty, quiet short-term rental right next door to you tonight?